you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, November 24th, and this is the LA Report. I'm Mariana Dale. On today's show, the latest on the outdoor dining ban. It's getting major pushback from those who say the restrictions go too far, plus details on a sweeping plan to reimagine the juvenile justice system. Then the Board of Supes is out and citizens are in when it comes to deciding how voting districts are drawn. We'll talk about a new redistricting commission that will handle the task. And we check in with residents of Venice, one of the epicenters of homelessness in LA County. LA County's ban on outdoor dining, slated to start at 10 p.m. on Wednesday night, has been under attack on multiple fronts. On Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors and the City Council met to discuss the new restrictions that many say go too far. With more, here's LAist food editor Elena Shatkin.
LA County's ban on outdoor dining has drawn a ton of pushback. So both the Board of Supervisors and the City Council voted today on motions to overturn the public health order. The City Council voted 11-3 to support a resolution that would recommend overturning the ban. Meanwhile, the five county supervisors voted against a similar motion. One supervisor at today's meeting said her phone had been blowing up with messages from people opposed to the ban. Supervisor Sheila Kuehl reluctantly supports the outdoor dining ban, but called the situation unprecedented. And Supervisor Catherine Barger, who put forward the motion in the Board of Supervisors, argued that there isn't sufficient data showing that outdoor dining has led to significant coronavirus transmission. So you're seeing a lot of contention, and you're seeing just how divisive this outdoor dining ban really is.
In a year filled with calls for wide-ranging criminal justice reform, LA County is moving forward with a sweeping plan to reimagine its juvenile justice system. The plan is to adopt what's called a care-first model of support by 2025. To explain, here's Robert Garova.
Yeah, while the number of juveniles in detention has dropped considerably over the years, LA County currently holds some 500 young people in its locked facilities. It's one of the largest juvenile justice systems in the country, and youth of color are significantly overrepresented. In 2018, the average annual cost to incarcerate a child in a county juvenile hall in California was more than $250,000. Advocates say that's money wasted and that the system is not working for youth. The motion that passed calls for eventually transferring supervision of young people in the system from the probation department to a new Department of Youth Development. The goal is to ultimately replace detention halls and camps with home-like housing. There would still be security, but youth would be able to stay close to family, keep going to school, and get supportive services. As part of the motion, the county is committing to moving to a so-called care-first model by 2025.
For the first time, the LA County Board of Supervisors will not decide how the county's voting districts should be drawn. Instead, they will be in the hands of an independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. The county auditor controller is set to pick the panel's first eight members on Tuesday. With more on the commission, here's Caroline Champlin.
This is all happening because of a state law that singled out LA County specifically and forced them to make this commission. And understandably, the supervisors were not happy about having this power taken away from them, and they fought it in court and lost. And based on this lawsuit, there's two reasons why this power is being taken away. And the first one is because LA is just so huge. Each supervisor represents around 2 million people each. And there's this idea that they, you know, aren't able to be in touch with all of those people. And so by making races more competitive, they might be more responsive to their constituents' concerns. And the other reason to take the power away from the supervisors is because there's a history of discrimination. And in the past, the board, specifically back in the 80s, the board split up Latino communities into a bunch of different districts to dilute their vote. And a federal judge got involved and decided that they had broken the law. And so now a board of independent Angelenos are going to do this work instead, and hopefully they're supposed to have more equitable motivations in mind. The first eight commissioners were picked via bingo ball lottery today, and they're supposed to reflect the party registration in LA County, and so far there's four Democrats, three independents, and one Republican on the commission, and then these people will pick the next six commissioners, trying to make the whole commission reflect the diversity of LA County.
And finally, Venice has been one of the epicenters for homelessness in Los Angeles. We recently talked to neighbors as well as the unhoused about the growing crisis in the area. With more, here's Aaron Schrank.
Yeah, my reporting focused on one encampment in particular in a residential part of Venice near Penmar Golf Course, which was until last month home to about 100 unhoused people. There was a lot of tension there between the unhoused community, who arrived mostly after the pandemic began, and the homeowners living across the street, who were constantly complaining about debris, noise, and crime at the encampment. These homeowners had been pushing local officials for months to address the situation to no avail. Then a fire started at the encampment and burned some trees, and suddenly the city and county agreed to clear the area and offer the people living there hotel vouchers through the Project Room Key program. So about 70 people moved into motels temporarily, and the rest have simply moved along to set up their tents in other parts of Venice. So I've been exploring kind of how this rare effort came to be and what it's meant for the unhoused and the housed neighbors involved. I would say that there's a mix of hope and skepticism on both sides that this will be a long-term solution.
Thanks for listening to today's LA Report. Our reporting is made possible by listeners like you. Please donate today at laist.com/donate to keep local news strong. That's laist.com/donate. We'll have another report for you tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I'm Mariana Dale. The LA Report is produced Monday through Friday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and for up-to-date news around the clock, tell your smart speaker to launch LAist or check in at laist.com/latest. That's laist.com/latest.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.